Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Real Stories Tapes True Crime, a weekly podcast from Real Stories, the online home of exclusive and award-winning documentaries from all over the world. My name is Stephanie Bauer, and this series takes some of Real Stories' most compelling true crime documentaries and turns them into podcasts. This episode is the fourth and final part of a story based on the documentary Angel of Death. If you haven't heard the first three episodes, I'd recommend going back to listen to them. If you're joining the story now, though, you should know that police are exhuming a number of bodies, all patients who died mysteriously at a California hospital. Detectives are hoping to find traces of a drug called Pavilion. They believe a respiratory therapist called Efren Saldivar used the drug to kill the patients. And at least one colleague talked darkly of Saldivar's magic syringe. Some people's names and the name of the hospital have been changed. This story is narrated by Anthony Call.
To catch suspected serial killer Efren Saldivar, investigators must reopen the graves of 20 of his possible victims. It was their only hope for finding the physical evidence to put him behind bars. That evidence, a paralyzing drug called Pavilion, must be extracted from the exhumed bodies by an experimental procedure. If it fails, the investigators will have no way to prove their suspect is a murderer. Glendale police officers hand-delivered autopsy samples to forensics expert Dr. Andreessen. He immediately began processing the exhumed tissue. He started by grinding up the samples into a paste-like substance.
I first just looked at kidney and the lung tissues, those tissues that receive a lot of blood supply. Because theoretically, at the moment of death, the blood is still circulating greatly in the bodies, and the lung tissues would have great circulation.
We can confirm that the drug's present.
Andreessen filtered it through a polymer that would stick to the drug. He then tested the samples using a gas chromatograph mass spectrometer, which can detect compounds weighing less than a billionth of a gram.
What a mass spectrometer does, it actually weighs molecules, and I know the exact weight of Pavilion. I present this unknown sample to this mass spectrometer, and it gives me the weights of all the chemicals, and from that I can say, sure enough, I do or do not have Pavilion in this sample. In the first couple of samples, I didn't see anything in them at all. And initially these samples were coming back negative, and I thought, well, maybe there has not been a crime committed, that these patients died naturally.
But then, Andreessen discovered the evidence the investigators so desperately needed.
One night I was working up the samples, started looking at the data, and there was Pavilion, the first time I'd seen it in a real exhumed tissue sample. I wouldn't say took my breath away, but I looked at it, I said, is this true? This is true, there is Pavilion in this patient.
6 weeks after the first specimens were delivered, detectives got the call they had been waiting for. Andreessen had a solid hit. In liver tissue from one of the exhumed bodies, he had found traces of Pavilion. The task force was elated. After more than a year of investigation, their hard work had finally paid off.
Check it out. I'm going to see this.
Then they discovered a problem. The victim's medical records showed he had received 2 milligrams of Pavulon in the course of his treatment at the hospital. It had been given to him on August 7, 1997, 8 days before he died. Detective McKillop was losing his patience.
We went from shock and happiness, jubilant, to here we go again. Every time we get a piece of evidence, there's something that pulls us back and says that's not going to be good enough.
While the drug would have metabolized in 20 hours, long before the man's death, Saldivar's attorney might argue this is why it was in his system. If the team guessed wrong and Pavulon failed to show up in any other bodies, their case against Saldivar would collapse. The exhumations continued. Bob Baker had told investigators he suspected Saldivar used his magic syringe on Sarah Ascari. Based on this information, Ascari's body had been slated for exhumation. The cemetery workers found water in the burial vault, so detectives took samples of it for analysis. The captain of the department called the lead detective, John McKillop, in to account for his progress, or the lack of it. McKillop's team had spent the past year and a half working the case, but they still had not found anything proving Saldivar's guilt.
It was all about finding the truth. I mean, if we could prove that it didn't happen, that was success, just like proving that it did happen. What everybody was afraid of is being unable to prove that it happened, because what does that mean? It means we can't prove it happened, and we can't prove it didn't happen.
What's going on? I've had
the captain informed McKillop that the brass was losing their patience.
We're a department of 220 sworn police officers with a budget that's not the same as a major, multi-thousand person police department. So we really knew we were draining our resources financially.
The lab work alone had cost $150,000. The task force needed hard evidence soon, or the department would shut them down. The success of the entire investigation now rested on Dr. Andreessen's shoulders. He needed to find some evidence of the drug soon, or suspected murderer Efren Saldivar would remain free. Detectives in Glendale, California, exhumed the remains of people they suspected were murdered in an area hospital. A laboratory detected traces of a paralyzing drug in one of the bodies, but the drug had been legitimately administered by the hospital. They had identified a suspected serial killer, but still had not located any of his victims. Investigators got a break when Dr. Andreessen at Lawrence Livermore Labs started getting hits. Sarah Ascari and Linda Sharofsky. The results were overwhelming, he told the task force. He had found massive amounts of Pavulon in the women's lungs, kidneys, bladder, heart tissue, liver, and brain. Investigators finally had hard, irrefutable physical evidence to confirm Saldivar's confession. They were ready to arrest Saldivar on 3 counts of murder. But investigators wanted to make sure they gathered all the evidence they could. The exhumations continued. Pavulon turned up in 3 more patients: Jorge Agata, Eleonora Schlegel, and Myrtle Brower. 6 out of the 20 bodies exhumed had traces of the paralyzing drug.
We expected we would be lucky if we got 1. So now we're getting 5, 6. We were starting to think we've got one of the biggest serial killers of all time.
They now had potentially linked Saldivar to 6 counts of murder. The prosecutor wanted to make sure there was no other explanation for Pavulon being in the bodies. To solidify their case, the detectives obtained all the medical records they could find for all 6 patients, going back over their entire lifetimes. They examined them for any traces of Pavulon. The patient's medical histories showed that Eleonora Schlegel had received Pavulon on 2 occasions, in 1983 and 1984. Aside from her and the first patient, none of the others had ever received Pavilion as part of their legitimate medical treatment. The only explanation for Pavilion being in their systems was Saldivar's magic syringe. The detectives believed they had a rock-solid case, but their optimism wasn't shared by the DA's office. The prosecutor had some discouraging news. The wrongful death lawsuit brought by John Schwartz's family had been thrown out. The judge had cited a lack of evidence. The ruling only exacerbated the detective's fears. They went back to review all the charts of every patient in the hospital, all 450 beds on the nights the six patients had died. They wanted to make sure Saldivar was not actually treating someone else at the times he was accused of committing murder. He could have been present at each murder.
CrimeCon, the world's number one true crime event, is coming to London in 2021 on Saturday, the 25th and 26th September. Get inside the mind of serial killers and psychopaths. Learn from leading criminologists. Immerse yourself in forensic evidence and delve deeper into unsolved crimes. CrimeCon is the ultimate true crime weekend, partnered with Crime and Investigation, and a perfect opportunity to meet fellow true crime enthusiasts. Limited tickets are on sale now at crimecon.co.uk, and we have an exclusive discount code for you. To claim your discount, enter the code REAL at checkout. That's R-E-A-L, REAL. Head over to crimecon.co.uk now.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
After years of searching for evidence of murder, the investigators finally had enough to make an arrest. On January 9th, 2001, the detectives gathered and set out in unmarked cars. Police had kept a close watch on Saldivar. They knew his schedule for every minute of the day. They were waiting for him as he left for work that morning. As he left his house, the officers latched onto Saldivar's bumper. It had been 2.5 years since Saldivar's confession. They almost had him in their grasp, but all they could do was wait for the right moment to arrest the serial killer. They had no idea what he might do when they finally pulled him over, and they couldn't take any chances. When Saldivar turned onto a deserted road, the officers made their move. He didn't fight as the officers surrounded him.
Get out of the car. Get out of the car slowly. Turn around. Don't look at me. Keep your hands up.
The murderer of defenseless people was now defenseless himself.
Stand on your knees and freeze right there. Keep your hands behind your head.
Detective Fuchsia cuffed Saldivar.
A lot of police officers don't get to say they bagged a serial killer during their career. And, you know, there was a lot of times during the investigation where I didn't think this case was going anywhere, and there was a lot of frustration and thought this day would never come. And when it was finally there and to be able to place the handcuffs on him, it was a good feeling. It was one of satisfaction.
Saldivar's freedom had come to an end. As the detectives read him his rights, the investigator's long journey to capture Saldivar was finally over.
You decide to answer questions now without your lawyer being present. You have the right to change your mind at any time and request that your lawyer be present before you answer any further questions. You understand these rights? Check the contents of Bob over there. Yeah.
Saldivar had taken the lives of countless patients. For 9 years, he had gotten away with murder. But now, the law would call him to account for his crimes. Now the officers hoped they could discover his motives for killing. Detectives brought Saldivar into the station to question him one more time.
We brought him to the interview room. When he got in there, it wasn't about, so we want to ask you, did you do it? It was about, we know you did it. Let's get over that hump. Let's talk about why. And, you know, let's see if we can put an end to this and maybe keep us from exhuming another 20 bodies and disrupting another, you know, 20 victims' families' lives.
Detective McKillop told Saldivar six of his patients had tested positive for Pavulon.
I just told him it's over. We're here to find out why you did it, not if you did it. You know, if you're going to give us that baloney, then we might as well end this conversation. He said, you know, a really low volume type way. He just basically said that he did it because of workload, that too many patients and too much work, and he was doing it to just, you know, thin out the crowd.
But this second confession conflicts with what police psychologist Chris Mohandi believes was Saldivar's true motives for killing.
At the core of his being is some sort of deep-seated sense of inadequacy or inferiority, which killing remedies, that the power that one experiences, the omnipotence that one experiences by having control over life and death, is what would drive him to do these kinds of things. The omnipotence, control over life and death, is the perfect antidote for a person who feels insignificant, perhaps unloved, powerless, out of control. What better way to wield control than to have the ultimate control over life and death, to be almost godlike?
Detectives called the relatives of Saldivar's victims. It was devastating for them to finally learn their loved ones had been murdered. But with Saldivar's arrest, they would at last find justice. By his own account, Saldivar was near the top of any list of serial killers. He told detectives that he killed on impulse, and after he did it, he never thought about it again. This explanation rings true to police psychologist Chris Mohandi.
I don't think that Saldivar truly felt a sense of guilt or remorse. I believe that to this day he feels justified in what he did, but not in a mean-spirited way. He truly thinks he was being helpful.
The district attorney's office began building their case, according to prosecutor Albert McKenzie.
The key to a case like this is basically what I call connecting the dots. There's no one thing that is going to convict the defendant. It's the totality of the circumstances. It's all the little bits of evidence that you have to present to a grand jury or a jury.
The prosecution team was concerned with the level of scientific detail they would have to present to a jury, according to prosecutor Carla Curlin.
In this case, it may have been too technical, and the jury just couldn't grasp the concept. And it also was, we were using established technology, but it's not technology that people are generally familiar with, but we were using it in a new way. And so a good defense attorney will always put a spin on that to make it look like it's new, never been done before, experimental, can't be trusted, that kind of thing.
At his trial, Saldivar shocked everyone when he pled guilty in order to avoid the death penalty. Larry Schlegel was in the courtroom that day.
Given what he had done to my mother and to the other six named victims, and he had injected them with Pavulon, and Pavulon is one of the drugs used in administering capital punishment in the state of California, it would have been some poetic justice, I suppose, for him to have gotten similar treatment.
The judge gave Saldivar six consecutive life sentences and 15 more years for the attempted murder of Jean Coyle. Despite the prosecution's overwhelming evidence, Albert McKenzie felt it was best to accept Saldivar's plea.
Let's bring resolution to all of these people. If ever we got the death penalty on Mr. Saldivar, that might be years away, and the people who cared most about the victims may no longer be around. If we can bring closure to the victims, if we can get Mr. Saldivar off to prison, for six life in prison without the possibility of parole sentences and one life sentence on top of that, we've accomplished some justice here.
Ecovera Medical Center has since tightened their controls, but Bob Baker believes Saldivar has done irreparable damage.
This sacred institution was in a large sense a playground to Efren. He obviously didn't hold life sacred. He violated this institution. And it was felt all over the world, I think, that you take somebody like that and for them to feel that they can do this is unspeakable.
Investigators may never know the actual number of Saldivar's victims. The six murders he's known to have committed occurred in his last year at the hospital.
I think Saldivar killed hundreds. And again, it's based on his own words and just doing the math. If we had that many in one year, and in his own words, it was a slow year, he must have killed hundreds of people. I know that we found over 50 suspicious cases in that final year of employment. So it's not like I'm just taking his word for it. I think our own investigation proved that he killed a heck of a lot more than what we were able to prove.
But thanks to the tireless work of police and scientists alike, they do know that this angel of death will never claim any more victims.
This podcast episode is based on the documentary Angel of Death. It is directed by Jeff Fine and produced by New Dominion Pictures. You can watch this story, plus many others, in full length for free if you go to Real Stories YouTube channel. I am your host, Stephanie Bauer. If you liked this episode, remember to subscribe and leave a review and help us spread the word. You can also find us on Instagram and Twitter at Real Stories Docs. That's one word, Real Stories Docs, spelled D-O-C-S. See you next time. Until then, stay safe.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.